We'll get to Rabbeinu Yaakov soon, all right? But let's just start from the beginning, okay? So let's start from the beginning, okay? Let's just review the Gemara. Right now, I'll review outside, but the three main points in the Gemara, or I would call them three distinct Gemaras, three distinct pieces. The first Gemara tells us what? First piece of Gemara tells us what?
You have to wait.
There's an idea of waiting, right? And in that idea of waiting, what? The conclusion is it's unidirectional, but what would you think it should be?
Bidirectional.
Statement two in the Gemara is what?
You can eat cheese before me.
No, that's still part of the first statement. Statement two is the gufa. What's the Gemara's question there? Right. There's an idea. Right. There's something about meat in your teeth that's stuck in your teeth afterwards. And statement three is the what?
Teeth.
Is right. Well, statement two is the teeth.
The duration.
Statement three is the marukva, the meal.
Yeah.
Meal to meal. Right. Okay. Is that clear? Yeah. I said, in my opinion, the two questions I would want to answer, the factual questions, are one: what is the necessity of this Gzera? What do we have this for? Okay, what's the purpose of it? Now remember, what's Chazal's mandate? What is the mandate of the sages? What are they supposed to be doing? Which means? So they're always there to guard the Torah-based prohibition. Okay, that's their job. But we already have a prohibition that exists to guard the Torah's prohibition. But what is that prohibition? I'm not allowed to do what? I can't eat meat and milk together. I can't have my salami and cheese together in my mouth. So what is this coming along to do? Okay, and the second question is, which should come from that, is why is it unidirectional, not bidirectional? Okay? Okay. Clear?
Yeah.
Any questions on those questions? Okay. What order should we go, like this? That's what I was trying to guide some of you guys beforehand. The prohibition of meat and milk, it's the hardest one to understand in Chulin. Because it's not like a normative type of prohibition. Normally, what do I have? I have something that's prohibited, and I have something that's permitted. And I bring them together, and now you have to start dealing with the consequences of that mixture. Okay? Halacha loves mixtures. It loves what's called the tairoves, mixtures. Which is, if you think about it, a mixture is an abstract idea. Is there really such a thing as a mixture? What's a cholent?
Cholent is a lot of stuff in a long bowl.
Right, cholent means meat, potatoes, beans, barley, if you like it that way, right? And sauces. So, on the one hand, those are separate components. But we call it a cholent. Why? Because we abstract. We say, take these things together and it comes an entity. That's tairoves. The basar b'chalav is very different. What's the problem with basar b'chalav? Two permitted things. Two permitted things that are coming together. And what happens when they come together? Isser.
I mean, that's
and a new
crazy,
what?
That's not a crazy concept.
I don't walk into that one.
Uh-oh.
So everyone says, isn't it just like shatnez, right? But it's not like shatnez. Why is it? It is, but it's not. What, you guys know what shatnez is?
Yeah.
Okay. It sort of is, but if you really think about it, it's not. Why is it not? Yeah.
Can you just not wear shatnez?
Yes, but
it's
also kilayim, so you can't grow them together too.
Yeah.
You can't grow certain things together. Okay? But let me ask you a question. If I grow X and Y together, okay? If I grow them together, X and Y, whatever they are, okay? What do I have?
X and Y.
No, I always have X and I always have Y. They just happen to be growing next to each other. They're in proximity. But they don't form a new entity. But by basar b'chalav, what happens? There's a whole... Nope. Right, well, it's something new. Now, the way halakha looks at... The way the Torah looks at meat and milk, when they combine together, you've produced a... Chefsa shel iser, an object of prohibition. It's a brand new object.
Cheese and burger.
One more point, we're going to end up getting into this, but that's when I keep using this word, chaticha nasis nevela. What does nevela mean? You guys know what nevela is, right?
What everyone calls it. It's what everyone calls colloquially the trade.
It's when you don't eat that.
Properly, okay, right? So the animal is treif, as far as we can't eat it. But the terminology of nevela is used to refer to also that which I produce in basar and chalav. If I mix my milk and meat together, if I cook them together, what emerges from it is actually considered like nevela.
Why?
That, we're not up to ready for that yet. What? But that's what it is. It is. Two things that are permitted. Two normal...
Nevela is one thing.
Right.
I mean,
okay. No entity emerges from shatness. It's not that the two combine together and produce something. It's just the very proximity of one with the other that's the problem. But by basar rechav, it's not the proximity. In fact, I'll prove it to you. If I take a cold piece of cheese and a cold piece of salami and I put one on top of the other, I'm not over any prohibition. Because why? There's nothing going on there. Right? What's required to make it usser, not to get too ahead of ourselves? Cooking. In other words, cooking's the mechanism. It's through bishul. Right. Well, but you need it. You need something external to it to allow that to take place. Right, but not just fuse them together, but does what? It creates a new entity. That's, I understand, but you have to keep that in mind. It's in, right. Okay? Oh. So what's the problem then? Why are Chazal so uptight? Why are they so concerned here?
This is a very... Right? This is very easy to...
It's everybody has milk in their home, everybody has meat in their home.
Okay, good. So now we know this is a very... We want to... Again, Chazal want us to... I don't like using this word, but I think it works well. Chazal want us to relate to to basar and chalav as almost as if they're taboo. Okay? Not that you shouldn't enjoy your steak and enjoy your milk, but the idea of associating one with the other should always be considered taboo. That's how you should look at it. Once the Torah comes along and says the mixing together through bishul creates a new entity, Chazal step in and say, you know what? We want to make sure that people relate to these things as separate as possible.
Because
I agree. I like pig. Everybody knows pig is a problem, right? Stay away from pig.
What?
Everyone knows that. That's clear. If I told you there's something prohibited in your house, you'll stay away from it. But by basar and chalav, since those two entities themselves are not prohibited, there's a certain insensitivity the average person will have insofar as the heinous nature of the convergence of the two producing a new entity. Yes. So now we can start appreciating why the Chazal are going to be so concerned about this prohibition. Now let's talk about the two prohibitions that the rabbis came up with. What's the first one? I can't consume them together when they're cold. Okay, now think about that logically. What's that? What is the nature of that prohibition?
What?
But what's it a prohibition on?
They're
no, it is a. That's the source of it. Okay, on achila. Okay, it's clearly on eating. Okay,
but the other one.
I'm not saying it's not related to cooking and benefit, right? But this is the key thing. The prohibition midrabanan is I can't eat this piece of salami and this piece of cheese together. Okay? That is the rabbinical prohibition. I can't take this piece of salami and this piece of cheese and eat them together. Okay? That's one gzera. Okay? Let me just say, and then you can kill me. Okay? What I want to suggest is that what this gzera is, it's not a gzera on the particular piece of meat and cheese in front of me to eat together. We have that already. It's on the right. It's on. It's association of with the institution of meat and milk. Okay. Well, wait. Let me finish. So, what are they used as the vehicle? What mechanism do they use as the vehicle to deliver this prohibition? A meal. Why? Because a person, and this is where the word culinary comes in. A person has to have a certain amount of. He has to have a certain sensitivity to the culinary incompatibility of meat and milk. And that comes about through a meal. The meal, the phenomenon of meal creates that environment. So when a person has meat and milk in his meal, what's he supposed to say to himself? Right? He's supposed to say, we'll get to bidirectional, I promise you. What's he supposed to say? He's supposed to say, you know what? By having meat and milk in the same meal, you're associating one with the other. But here's the key point. It's not this steak and this piece of cheese that he's associating. It's the basar and the chalav. You understand? The Isra Achila is on the salami and the cheese that's in front of me. But this Gzera is not on this specific steak and milk. It's I have a piece of basar and I have a piece of challah. And those things, those concepts, those phenomena should never be related to each other. Okay. Made a good point. In other words, by having a hefsek, whatever that hefsek is, which we don't know what it is yet, we have no idea what the break is, but by having some break, something between my meat and milk, I didn't say an hour, I didn't say suda, I didn't say anything. But by having something between the two, okay, what's that going to do? It's going to tell me in my mind, breaks association. But now think about it, and forget the bidirectional for a second. Intuitively, you can start understanding why you have debates about kinuach or seudach risa or things like that. Now it becomes so much easier. Now it's all a question of what's the nature of the break in association. Okay, fine. Yes. So. Many times, and I'll put it in more halakhic terms, okay? One gzera is on the maisa achila. Okay, one gzera is on the actual act of eating. That's the first gzera. But the second gzera is not on the maisa achila, rather what's it on? No, on the derech achila, on how you eat. One gzera is on what you're eating, right? The action of eating. The other one's on the way people eat, the way you eat. One decree is on the action of eating, right? And one decrees on the way you eat. Those are targeting two different things. Another way to put a derech achila is called nihug. What does nihug mean? Your behavior, the way a person behaves. And like you're using the right word, break the association. Right? Because a person normally would associate these things together. So this is a method to break the association. Okay? Now why am I saying this? Okay, and then I'll get back to your question. Why am I saying this? What drove me to say this? Because I think this can help us answer why it had to be unidirectional and not bidirectional. Why does it have to be unidirectional and not bidirectional? What would be the problem? Forget the... Don't worry about the buser being stuck in your teeth. We don't know about that yet. This is part one of the Gemara. Okay? What would be the problem if we're bidirectional? The problem would be... So if it were bidirectional, you know what you would think? What the average person would say is what Tucker was saying before, what you said right now, which is that what is it? It's a gzera and a gzera. Because you can't really tell a difference between the two. In other words, if it were bidirectional, then you would think it's no different than a gzera on Maisa Achila. But what the Gemara is telling you is that it's unidirectional for one reason only.
To prove it's not a gzera and a gzera.
To show it's not. It's its own gzera. See, by limiting the direction, what's it going to tell you? It's a special type of gzera. It's different than the gzera Maisa Achila. And then, last step, and then finally the Gemara has to determine which way we're going to go. Are you going to go Gvina Bus or Bus Gvina? So that's the next Gemara. The next Gemara's question is, Bus or Banishinayim? You understand? That's how the Gemara knows now to go in that direction. The Gemara doesn't know at this point which direction to go in. Should it be milk after meat or meat after milk? We don't know. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you which direction we're going to go in. If we're going to pick a direction, pick the direction of, you can't have milk after meat because of Bus or Banishinayim. Okay. Again.
It still seems like
they're going to choose a direction, then they're going to use an empirical barometer. And what's the empirical barometer? Right, I got something stuck in my teeth. But there's you got to understand, logically, right, there's a point in time, there's one moment where both directions are equally valid, right? But you understand why I'm saying you only can pick one. If you pick two, if it's both directions, then you would for sure think it's zero and zero. Right, they, in other words, I'll put it in more descriptive terms. They want us to see eating, not eating milk after meat as distinct as possible from the prohibition of eating them together, meaning salami and cheese together, cold. They want to see it as two separate gzeras. So there's no idea of a bidirectional gzera by salami and cheese. I can't have them together. It doesn't matter what order I put them in my mouth. I could put the cheese in first and then the salami, or the salami then the cheese. It's irrelevant, right? But here it makes a difference. Why? Not because it's something intrinsic in the thing. Rather, because if it were bidirectional, then you would think it's just a gzera on a gzera. I think now you can see the segue from the first and second Gemara. Because now it makes a lot of sense now. The second Gemara is asking, well, now it's saying, what is that stuff between your teeth? Okay? All right. Now we've got a big problem in tackling this issue. Okay? What are the problems we have? There's. Tell me, what problems do we have tackling issue number two? Okay? Yeah, Bus or Ben Shinai. A lot of problems. Many problems. For example.
It's still possible, yes. Would it not fall under the first
gzera? Okay, so that's one issue. Is it, right, if it's, it, now, think about it, if it really were considered meat, then what would be the problem? What? Right, I can have cheese with it, right? But that doesn't seem to be the prohibition. No one's saying that, in other words, if this were really meat in my mouth, then what could I not have? Cheese. And if I ate cheese, what iser would I be over? What prohibition? The first one. But that's not what the Gemara is telling you. The Gemara is saying, if I did it, I'd be over the second gzera.
It's not actually meat, but it's still enough for you to associate.
Okay, good. Okay, I agree. We'll define that in a second. Okay, but you're saying, what you're saying is good.
So
now,
question,
so what? Hold on. What's a havmina? You would think it's.
You would think it's actually.
Nope. You would think it's nothing. Mashalan, it's got something, some buster to it. That's one issue. Another question. I want to get the questions down first. Right. Another question. The Rambam says, "What's buster ben shinayim?"
Actual meat pieces.
And what does Rashi say? Okay, that should ring huge amount of alarm bells. Why? Come on, it's your favorite term, Lichter. Point of methodology, okay, very important. How do you have an argument between where one guy says, what's the problem with the meat? Residue. The other guy says, what's the problem with meat? It's stuck with you in your teeth. Now let me ask you a question. Let's say the Rambam and Rashi are in a restaurant with each other, okay? And they both have steak, okay? Rashi says, wow, I got some residue in my mouth. And the Rambam says, oh, I got meat stuck with you in my teeth. Right? Okay, now what would each one respond to the other?
There's no problem.
What?
You have no problem.
Okay, let's be a little more halakhic here. Let me ask you a question. According to the Rambam, does the Rambam agree there's residue in your mouth?
Yeah.
He has to agree with that. He has to agree that there's something on your palate. Oh, that's not the problem. And it's vice versa. Rashi must agree with what?
There's still meat in your teeth.
There's meat in your teeth. Rather what?
She doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
It's not a factor.
Right. So, but it is... Okay, so you got to be careful. There's something factual going on here.
About what the halacha.
Right. But it doesn't mean that the Rambam saying scientifically the issue is one and not the other. You understand? You have to say that. It doesn't make sense to say that Rashi holds there's no problem with Basar Ben Shinayim, but there is a problem of Shuman, and the Rambam says vice versa. Rather, they both agree the phenomenon exists. It's just a question of which one is the problem. Is that clear? It's very important to understand that. It's not an issue of saying that they're not arguing factually whether or not it's a residue issue or Basar Ben Shinayim. They're arguing halakhically what's the issue. But they both agree both phenomenon are present in your mouth. But what's the machlokas though? What kind of arguments are you? What kind of arguments to say it's a problem of meat stuck between your teeth or residue?
What's
it's a
very
bizarre. Yeah. What kind of? It's a bizarre argument. Okay. Are you trying to answer this?
Yeah.
No, not ready for that yet.
No.
More questions. No, more questions. Okay. That's another set of questions. Okay. Another set of questions. What's the machlokas? What are they arguing about? Okay. Okay. Some more questions to ask. You guys are the Rabbeinu Yaakov, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what does Rabbeinu Yaakov tell us? What is the Ritva's? Okay, so now let's start talking about whatever Basar Ben Shinayim is, how do we solve that problem? Okay, how do we solve the problem? Okay, so Rabbeinu Yaakov says, Rabbeinu Yaakov doesn't even have that problem. What does he say?
Kinoa.
So if I have in my meal...
He has some form of problem. That's why he requires the quinoa.
What, does he?
Yeah.
What's the problem according to Rabbeinu Yaakov?
Rabbeinu Yaakov would say that the problem is not necessarily the physical presence of it, but it's the taste that is in your mouth. That's why it requires the punch.
Incorrect, because Rabbeinu Yaakov holds in my meal, if I invite Greenberg over to my house and we have steak and pizza on my table, according to Rabbeinu Yaakov, I have my steak, take a cup of water, rinse my mouth out,
yeah,
and then have
it requires rinsing.
But within the meal, though?
Yeah, that's what
I'm
saying.
Oh, okay, fine, right. Okay. What? Yes, okay, no, don't try to define it yet. Yes, but there has to be something there, right? And if I don't have, according to Rabbeinu Yaakov, if I don't have, ability to rinse my mouth out, what do I rely on? The next meal. Okay. What about Tosos' way of learning?
Tosos' way of learning, that's next meal.
You need to wash your mouth out and then...
No, Tosos says you need to wash your mouth.
Okay, we'll get to that. So what's the essential position according to Tosos? What do I definitely need?
Next meal,
right?
You can have an immediate next meal.
Right, but let's say I found meat between my teeth, according to Tosos. You have to wash it out, okay?
Where do we see that?
Right, the Rambam says that the problem is being stuck between my teeth, and I gotta wait 6 hours, and Kinuach's not gonna work.
But he's not saying 6 hours.
He's saying Kamo, come on. Yes, come on. So you got a lot of problems here. I mean, where do we begin? I ask you, what would you like to begin with? Which question should we answer first?
Rabbeinu Yaakov.
Where's Rambam get 6 hours from?
So he'd say it's the amount of time between your morning meal and your evening meal. So what do you want to start with?
What exactly are you associating
with? The issue in the Gemara that says, what is this meat stuck between my teeth? What is it? Mahu. Right? Okay, and I told you, hold on. Look at the Ritva. Take out that Ritva, guys. All right? Look at this Ritva here. I'm going to read. The Ritva. Okay? So look at in the second paragraph, which says, Basar shalbeina shinayim mahu. This is Perish La'inin Suda Shnia. Okay, again, every word here is so important. When it comes to something like the Ritva, you got to pay attention to what he's saying. When it comes to the which meal? The second meal. Meaning that, okay, E nothing mitaris basar alo. What does this piece of meat stuck in my mouth, right? Now, what does he mean, E nothing mitaris basar?
It's still called basar.
Right, is it still. Is it still categorized as meat? He's not. No one would ever say. Nobody says. The meat stuck between my teeth after my meal's over is basar. His question is it Taurus basar? Or as he says, if Amrele did Sarah Kinuach, ki odenu shame basar alav. It requires rinsing my mouth out. Why? What does shame basar mean? It has the character of meat attached to it. But it's not really meat. Okay? The Ilu Basuda Rishona. Now let's say I have you over my house and we're eating steak together, right? And you say to me, you know, Ginsburg, I got like a piece of steak stuck in my mouth. We haven't benched yet. Everyone holds that's what? Steak. That is steak. That's the same steak as what's on your plate. But magically speaking, when I bench, what happens to the steak? It changes to what?
Pseudo meat.
Okay. Pseudo meat. How does it do that? What is that, like a magic trick?
What is a pseudo meat?
I don't know. You tell me, what sounds like a magic trick. Is it meat or not?
No, but it's still enough to associate.
It's enough to, okay.
So it is.
Okay.
No, you wouldn't need to say a
breakfast. Meal, it's steak. After the meal's over, for the first 6 hours, it's
pseudo meat.
kind of meat, and then all of a sudden after 6 hours, poof, what happens to it? It's fine. And therefore, I could take pizza and shove it in my mouth and rub it up against that fleck of meat behind my molar after 6 hours. Am I over any isser whatsoever? No. That's pretty interesting. So what's going on here? What's going on here? And let me ask you another question. Okay, just keep asking the questions. According to the Rambam, why is it that kinuach doesn't work? Why not? Why can't I say, you know what, that's the hardest question. Why can't I say that I'm going to rinse my mouth out? And I'm going to ensure I'm going to have a dentist look in my mouth with surgical loops, and he will determine without question that there's not one piece of meat left in your mouth. And yet the Rambam would say, I don't care, you still have to wait 6 hours. Why? And he doesn't hold, it's a residue problem.
You're still getting another previous suit.
Says, I can't have meat and milk in one meal. I can't do that, one after the other. Again, milk after meat in one meal. But what do I need first? Suda sakhrisa. No, before that. Suda sakh, I got a bench, right? Okay, and that makes a lot of sense, because what's benching doing?
That's a natural distinction between the two.
Yes, it's ending my culinary association. I'm no longer worried about it anymore. The ending of the meal means my culinary association is ended.
If you've benched and gotten rid of the actual physical piece, then there's nothing else.
So you said it before. So if you have basar ben shinayim, according to Tosos, what I do kinuach? What's the problem there? You said it before, because what am I going to do? And therefore what? What am I doing? Use the word. The word you used before. Yeah, okay. So I'm still associated with my previous meal. Tosfos is easy. If I have a piece of meat stuck in my mouth after I bench, what am I thinking about? I mean, let's just think descriptively. What am I thinking about? That steak was awesome. Okay? That was a great steak. You have an association to the previous meal. In other words, that means, okay, what's the definition of that substance? It's a basic thing. It is kind of pseudo-busser. But let's think from what I'm saying.
Is it nothing?
It's a remnant.
Of the meal, yeah.
It's a remnant of the meal. Meaning that, according to what I'm saying all along, it's not, the problem isn't the piece of steak in between my teeth. The problem is it's busser from the first meal.
Yeah, you're still pseudo-engaged from the previous meal.
Exactly. There's still something, there's still some relationship between me and that meal. Okay? Through that little fleck.
That's right.
Remnant. We'll get the Rambam, I promise you. Okay? Yeah. The Torah never says, ever, ever, that you think this is actually meat itself. That's impossible. The Gemara first thought maybe it's nothing. But why would it be nothing? Because when you have a remnant from a meal, you don't think of that as food. It's certainly not ochel in any regular sense, right? You don't make a brach on it. But what is it in the context of our gzera?
It's a reminder.
You associate it back to the first meal. And that's a problem. Because what's our whole objective with the gzera? To break the association. You see how this is starting to flow now? There's a flow taking place here. It's not just an isolated idea. There's one concept that's underlying this entire piece. We want to break the association. Okay? You got that? All right? Does that make sense? You had a question?
Yeah.
Put on your precision language glasses, except for the Kamo issue. You'll see the Rambam is really giving away he's playing his hand. He's showing his cards. Misha Acha Basar Betchila. Okay? Bain Basar Behema, Bain Basar Oaf. We don't care about that yet. Okay. Lo Yochal Acharav Chalav. So you can't eat milk after meat. Ad Sheyishoha Benayan Kide Shir Suda Acheres. What's he saying? The Rambam's telling you exactly how the Chachamim formulated this. It's a very interesting idea. Rambam says, Lo Yochal Acharav Chalav Ad Sheyishoha Benayan Kide Shir Suda Acheres. What's he trying to do? What's the Rambam really telling us that took place? I agree with you, there's some idea of association that's taking place here according to the Rambam. That post my first meal, there's some type of association. But in order to give it a halachic structure, okay, what has to be done? You have to make it halachic. So what did Chazal do? It's very simple what they did. Right? I'll ask the question very simply, okay? According to the Rambam, okay? If I bench after my meal, have I completely finished my first meal?
No.
Kol Ramam, what's taking place? You're right. But I'm saying in the context of when he says Achi Yishoha Benayan Kidei Shir Suda Acheres, when he says you have to wait the amount of another meal, you know what he's really telling you?
Still on that meal time.
Oh. He extended the Suda time. You understand? In other words, imagine your Suda, how long do you usually take to eat a steak meal? Make up a number. Quickly.
How long does it take me to eat a steak meal?
17, 20 minutes. 20 minutes, okay. According to the Rambam, your steak meal is not 20 minutes long. You know how long it is?
6 hours.
20 minutes plus kamoshe shows. Okay? Meaning your meal hasn't ended. Yeah, you benched, but your meal has not ended until when? Kamoshe shows.
So you're always in a meal time.
Yes. Not, but not, I gotta be careful when I say this. Not in the plane of, when I say plane, P-L-A-N, not the plane of benching. As you benched, insofar as that's done. But the association meal, that still exists. That's why the Rambam says kinuach won't work. Not that, of course kinuach would work empirically. If I rinse my mouth out with scope and use floss, there's no flexamine in my mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Rambam's saying kinuach is a halakhic idea. Kinuach doesn't work. Why? Why won't it work? Why can't kinuach work? Because I'm still in my meal. I'm still in my meal.